You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today I'm going to highlight something that's very, very important. Consider this a public service announcement because I found some information that I'm really putting together with other information. And this is about the healthcare.gov website, the Obamacare website, if you need to enroll in on one of these exchanges. I'm going to flatly say stay off that site, I would say, for 6 months to a year minimum. Now, why am I saying this? I learned something preparing this show, and I wasn't preparing for Obamacare per se. I was really going to talk about the dramatic drop in the poll numbers of President Obama, especially amongst independents, but really across the board. But before I do that, I really want to alert you to why you really shouldn't go on that site. You definitely shouldn't use it to enroll. The responsible thing for the president to do right now is to pull down that website. Turn it off. Turn it off. Now, he's not going to do that. But let me tell you what I learned, which I think is shocking. And it was on CBS News a couple of days ago. Now, I don't have a television at home. I don't watch television. I certainly don't watch the major networks. But I will at least give a salute to CBS for running this report. What happened was Henry Chow is the chief project manager of the healthcare.gov website. And he has been testifying both in public hearings that are televised, but also in behind closed doors, if you will, closed hearings. And there's a reason for the closed hearings, and I'll get to it in a minute. Apparently what happened is this. He was confronted by congressmen in these closed hearings that showed him a memo that outlined the security problems with the healthcare.gov site. And these are high risk problems in the sense that your identity can be stolen. Your data can be sent to other places that it shouldn't be sent. And really the whole system and the assets of the system would be subject to diversion. And what happened is a reporter, Atkinson, from she got a hold of this heavily redacted memo. And here's what, in essence, it said: it would take until May of 2014 at the earliest to get rid of some of the problems, but it really would not be ready in terms of correcting these security problems until February of 2015. So you can forget about by November 30th that the problems with the website are going to be fixed. No, they're not. Yes, it might be running fine, but the security problems are still going to be there. And from other sources, I've learned this site has already been hacked over 36 times. Serious hacks that they know of. That's the ones they know of. In other words, there's security problems with this site that need to be addressed and that have not been addressed. And it will take months to correct. This is not a few days or a few weeks working long hours to correct it. And because he was kept out of the loop, now I ask myself, why would they keep him out of the loop? Let's assume that, and I don't know Henry Chow, I don't know his background. He looks like he's a career government employee that has worked his way up. He looks like he's a person of integrity. And I ask myself, why would they keep this information from him? Remember, I used to be a project manager. You don't keep bad news from the project manager. That's a career-ending decision. And guess what? The person that kept this news from him, this information, suddenly retires a couple of days ago. I can understand why. Because if I were a project manager and got that memo from my security person, the person in charge of security for this site, I would be forced to tell my bosses, you can't launch 1 October. You cannot do it. And that is why I think that, and this is speculation on my part, that is why I think he was kept out of the loop. purposely kept out of the loop. Because what he was saying is, I wasn't aware that we had major security problems. He was aware that certain things have not been completed, but he didn't know that you had serious security holes in the website. Now, I'm bringing it to your attention to say, don't go on that website and put in your information. You're just asking for your identity to be stolen, and you're asking for potentially thieves, criminals, to take money from you or take out loans in your name if they have the information. In other words, I had very little confidence. I now have zero confidence in that website. And I didn't believe, because I used to work in the software industry, not a long time, but a period of years. And I will tell you, this is not a quick fix, given the sheer size, magnitude of the project, and the number of people involved in it, and the fact you have very sensitive information that has to be exchanged. You really need encrypted transfers of information and encrypted databases. And that's just the beginning. There are a lot of other things. You got to worry about people taking over your system and breaking into it and stealing information. And not just one person's information, which is bad enough, but hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. This is a disaster. And I agree with the congressman who said, take down, Mr. President, take down this website. Mr. President, take down this website. That is the only responsible thing that needs to be done. This site is not ready. It's not secure. It has serious problems. And if they don't do that, and that is what they should do, what's the right thing to do here? It's to protect the American people and protect the American people from massive theft of their identity and their sensitive private information, financial, tax, medical. And the president has to order that, has to swallow his pride and say, we're taking it down. He won't do it. He'll lie to you some more. Oh, we fixed it. It's up and running. Go to the website and enter your information and enroll. It's not ready for prime time. It is more than a train wreck. This has the potential to be the biggest robbery, theft of the American people. And a personal theft. We're talking not one or two people. We're talking literally millions of people having their identity stolen and their information, sensitive information, compromised. So I'm trying to do a public service announcement, and that's my conclusion. Now, I've told people, if you're young and healthy, don't buy this, because all you're doing is subsidizing the sick and the elderly. And what's going to happen, it's happening right now as we speak, who is really enrolling in these exchange insurance, health insurance plans? It's the people that have serious medical conditions already. They need coverage because they've just gotten a letter, or in the last month have gotten a letter, or six weeks, well, now going on 7 weeks, and the letters are going to keep going out, that their current plans, which they like, overwhelming majority like their plans, they like their doctor, now they're learning that the president lied to them. They can't keep their plan, they can't keep their doctor, and now they're forced to try to quickly get enrolled in another plan that's going to cost them a lot more money with higher deductibles, and in the process of enrolling, their identity can be stolen. This is irresponsible that this website was launched on 1 October. I personally think that Secretary Sebelius should submit her resignation today, because she's overall has responsibility for it. I know she's not a programmer, and she wasn't responsible for managing this. But when we have all these problems, and the fact that for whatever reason, the submission by the person responsible for security saying it won't be ready until May of next year, and to get it all cleaned up by February, at that point, it should have been delayed. And the chief project manager didn't get the memo. He was kept out of the loop. There's some politics going on here, folks. I've worked in the government. I know what goes on. And some of these games, unfortunately, do go on. And like I said, I don't know Henry Chow, but I know this. Any project manager who got from his expert on security this memo detailing the problems, that's immediate stop. We can't launch. We can't go live. It's not ready. Now, there are a lot of other problems that are going on that he was aware of. You see, a project of this magnitude, even if you have the best people working on it, it just takes time. And you can't burn out people by working them double shifts for months. That's not a solution either. And nor is it just adding people, because when you add people, you got to get it up to speed, and that takes time. And they can make mistakes. They're not aware of it. It's not easy to fix. Well, let's try the best way to describe it. It's like trying to fix an airplane or a jet passenger airline, do maintenance while it's in the air. You don't do that. You wait till it gets on the ground. The passengers are off the plane. The pilots are off the plane. And then the maintenance crew comes in and repairs it. That's why I say healthcare.gov, that website needs to be pulled down, shut down. And that is going to mean delay. Now, I don't think the president, well, I know he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to hear that. But as far as I'm concerned, and I didn't hear the, I'd love to have Mr. Henry Chow testify on this aspect, the security aspects, in a public hearing where all the TV networks can record it. The American people need to know this. Now, I can see why they did it first in a closed hearing where the press is not invited. There's some security issues that you don't want to explain to the public what the problems or the security issues you found with it. You don't want to highlight that. But the conclusion that I've come to, and other people have come to that have heard this, is this website is not only not ready, it's a danger to the American people. It's a danger to the American people. The only responsible thing to do, the only right thing to do, is shut this site down. And it's probably going to have to be shut down for at least 6 months, if not a year, at least a year. But the Democratic Party, as well as Obama, this is their pride and joy. This is their legacy. This is the president's signature issue. It is? Doesn't look like big government is very good at this, does it? And this is just the first step. This is just to get enrolled in it, and they've messed it up. Now, the president continues to say, this is a good product. This is a good product. And asks what he needs to do about the, well, he needs, and he actually says this, I need to go out and campaign for it. It's a good product. Oh, a good product that people can't afford? That's a good product? That's a lemon. That's a non-starter. And see, the real problem they have is the young people aren't signing up. They're having their worst nightmares happening. And the insurance industry, I'm sure, warned them about this. One of the risks you run is you have adverse selection, that the people that sign up initially are the people that are sick with pre-existing conditions as well as older people that need the health insurance. And many of these people, they have no choice, and they may or not be fortunate enough to have the money to pay for it, even though it's more expensive. They know going in that they'd rather have expensive insurance for this simple reason. They know they're going to have claims many, many times greater than whatever they pay. In other words, these people that are enrolling right now, the vast majority of them, are just a big claim. That's like trying to get life insurance where you've had multiple heart attacks or strokes or cancer, or trying to get home insurance while your house is burning down, or car insurance after you had the car wreck. That's what you're going to get when you have guaranteed issue for individuals. And that's why it's been the practice of the insurance industry for many decades for individual coverage to have what's called medical underwriting, where they ask questions, as well as check with the Medical Information Bureau, MIB, to see what your record is in terms of claims. Because guess what? People lie. Like the president lied to you. Guess what? I've sold insurance. People lie. And the insurance companies are not charities. They're not the government. They are for-profit institutions. And many of them got out of this industry or are waiting on the sidelines. Few have had a few, just a, how should I say, they're not in it 100%. They have a few isolated areas where they're participating, really to keep their foot in the water, if you will, or toe in the water to see what's happening. What will happen if this continues? First of all, when the renewals come up next year, the insurance companies will have little choice but to increase the rates because they're not going to continue to lose money. And many of them might just bail. This is not living up to what they thought it was going to be. I'm surprised any of them participated in this disaster, but they were greedy. I know why they got on board with this. They thought they were going to make a lot of money. Well, yeah, maybe. But you really, what happened is the mandate went away because the Supreme Court made it very, very clear you don't have to buy health insurance. That's not a crime. As far as I'm concerned, if that's what the Supreme Court said, guess what? Don't buy it. Don't buy this, not a good product, piece of garbage. Expensive garbage. 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 This is garbage. It's expensive garbage. You know, I've been reading story after story about student coverage at schools. Now, Richland College is a community college, so people are not, it's a commuter school. People commute here and then they go home. Many of them to their parents, some to their own apartments. It's not like many full-time colleges or so-called senior universities where many, not all, but many of the students are actually in residence. They're either in dormitories or they live off campus or they live in a fraternity or a sorority house. What students on those type of universities across the country can do, at least up until now, they could buy coverage from their colleges. And the colleges were partnering with insurance companies, and there were relatively inexpensive plans for the simple reason there were caps on that. And this was basically to take care of the small, what I call small stuff that could happen while you're at college. Not major operations, but you need to see a doctor, you have a cold, you broke your leg or sprained an ankle. So it was relatively inexpensive. And it didn't provide, there was a limit on how much you could get back from it. The reason why it's popular with students, number one, and parents, it's cheap and for most young people, more than adequate. What's happening? All over the country, those plans are being canceled as I speak. Why? They're now illegal under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare. So all these relatively inexpensive, and I will be the first to say limited in terms of coverage policies, have gone by the boards or are going by the boards. They're not offering. They literally cannot offer it. And what happens? Their replacement policy that complies with Obamacare is very expensive. It's no surprise there. And students are simply not buying it. They can't afford it, and they're not buying it. Colleges are notorious for raising tuition, and booksellers, textbook publishers, for raising the price of books. And now you're getting a triple whammy with high health insurance. So many students, many parents, again, can't afford it. They could buy and did buy the inexpensive plan with their eyes open, knowing there were limits, and that's what they preferred. And they were buying it. Now, your ruling elite, Obama and his collectivist, big interventionist government status, they have a good product that's really expensive. You can get it. What most students or parents are saying, we pass. No way. You see, what's happening is you're going to get three groups of people. The people that have a serious pre-existing condition, that are sick, they have a chronic condition, as well as people that are older, that are concerned about the fact they're older and they could get their first heart attack, stroke, cancer. They're the ones initially that are buying Obamacare. And there's only been a little over 27,000 enrolled. Enrolled, I mean they've paid for it and they have the coverage. That's abysmal. My only concern is many of those people that are enrolled, as well as the people that provide some of the information, they might be subject to identity theft. So, yeah, you might be enrolled, but you might learn subsequently, it might be 6 months, a year, or more later, that your sensitive financial information has been compromised, and people are using your information to take out loans, buy goods, and only much later you're going to find out you're on the hook or potentially on the hook for a, it's going to do damage to your credit. And I'm asking myself, what was the problem? Why do we have Obamacare? You got to go back to that. This was to help reduce the number of people that didn't have insurance. And the number that initially was abandoned about 40 million, maybe 45 million. But when people looked at it, well, about 10 million or over 10 million of those were illegal aliens. So the number quickly dropped to there were 30 million uninsured. We have to pass a law, have a government program to make sure that those 30 million people that are uninsured have some coverage. And I've said in past shows, who are those 30 million people? About 10 million of them are people that already have a program for them called Medicaid. Those are the people that are poor or below the poverty line. They might have some income, but they literally cannot afford either insurance or, for that matter, paying for medical care. And there's a program for people that are in that situation, and that's called Medicare that was passed, I believe it's in the 70s. And that's jointly funded by the federal government and the states. And it's one, usually it's either the number one or number two major expense of the state is the funding for Medicaid. You got millions of people, the estimates I've seen, you have over 60 million people that are eligible for Medicaid. And that doesn't mean they need medical services. And you need to always emphasize this. Most people, depending on their age and gender, don't need medical care. Most people have not been to the doctor, usually, in several years or many years for whatever reason. Some, it's because they don't have insurance. Some, because they don't have the money. And many, because they don't think the condition warrants going to the doctor. Now, I'm bringing this up because most of the people that so-called enrolled, by far, right now, it's over 400,000 people, have signed up for what? Not an Obamacare plan, but for Medicaid. Now, let me run by the numbers. You have an order of magnitude, roughly about 27,000 people are actually enrolled, bought insurance, one of the Obamacare plans, through an insurance company by going to healthcare.gov, as well as that's for the federal program for states that don't have their own sites, as well as people that enrolled in state exchanges that several of the states have put together versus over nearly 400,000 that have enrolled in Medicaid. So they always had the plan. If you're poor and get sick, then you could enroll in Medicaid and then try to find a doctor or a hospital to help you. And that is going to be your challenge. And even where you can get that service, you're running a risk because the death rates, the mortality rates are much higher for those that are on Medicaid. I was reading about that and I said, man, you don't want to be poor in this country. You know, that's the message. That's the message. But what's the answer? The answer is a good job. A good job. Because if you have a good job, what can you do? One, you can buy the coverage you want, at least up until now. Not only need and want, but also can afford. You see, the issue that really is going to kill, is killing and will kill Obamacare, is the affordability issue. And that's where they have really miscalculated, both the Democratic Party and Obama. Now, I know what was going through their minds. Well, we'll just provide them subsidies. We'll just have the government provide them subsidies. Just a minute. Who pays for these subsidies? Other taxpayers pay for it. It's like going to your neighbor with a gun and saying, I don't have the money to buy health insurance. Give me some money so I can pay for my health insurance. Now, if an individual tried to do that, he'd be thrown in jail. But since it's the government doing, he's not thrown in jail. He gets a subsidy. That's not right. Because you got to realize what many people do. There are many people, there are 10 million that are poor, that can't afford it. There are another 10 million that are unemployed, that can't afford it. They need to pay for their rent, their food, their clothing. But the reason why they don't have health insurance is that they're between jobs. They're unemployed. And then you have another 10 million of the 30 million that have the money. They have the savings. They might, may or may not be employed or not. And those are your 30 million. And many of those people that are working, that have money, that could buy it, are young people. It is primarily young people between the ages of 18 and 39 that don't buy health insurance. If they don't have it through their employer, they elect not to buy it. And that is their right, because I believe in consumer sovereignty. You decide, given your budget, what income you have, what can you afford to buy? And many people say, I have other priorities. It might be a car that they need to get to work, or to get to school. It might be a college education. It might be books for college. It might be a vacation. It could be an entertainment center or a new television. That's consumer sovereignty, and that is the person's right. Remember, until Obamacare, the government could, and this was the first law where they mandated, were forcing you to buy a product that the government designed. And again, in conjunction with the insurance industry. Now, the reason why the insurance, the large insurance companies went along with this is they saw two things. The government was insisting on a number of services or benefits that had to be included in the plan. All that costs money, as well as that these plans were guaranteed issued. In other words, they had to take anybody. You couldn't medically underwrite these plans. So the insurance company, their thinking is this: well, if this actually works, you'll have a lot more people insured that normally would not be insured, and those are the young people. What's happening, though, the risk was, and it's coming to pass, is you have right now going on adverse selection, that most of the people enrolling today are the sick and older people that know they're going to have claims, big claims. So almost no matter what the cost, within limits, buying insurance makes sense to them, because they know they're going to be paid, they or their doctors and hospitals are going to be paid many times the premiums that they would contribute it over their working lives, lifetime, until they, you know, qualify for Medicare at age 65. Those are the people that are rushing out and trying to be enrolled in these plans. And if this continues this way, what's going to happen a year from now? The renewal rates are going to be a lot higher. Because, yeah, they enroll, and then maybe 3 months later, 6 months later, 9 months later, their condition comes back, whatever it is. They go to the doctor, might need to have a hospital stay, might need an operation. So let's say they've paid in, let's keep it simple, a single person paying $200 a month, they pay $2,400, they have a deductible of $5,000, so they're out of pocket over $7,000, and now they have a medical bill for $30,000. That's how they're approaching it. That's how they're approaching it. And that's why in the past policies were not guaranteed issue, but medically underwritten. And like I said, the insurance companies are not charities. They're not going to continue to do this. The only way they can make this work is they need millions of young people to sign up. And that really is not happening. Because there have been surveys, and I think Pew Research Center a couple of weeks ago, did a poll. And what they were they did it by age groups. And what they were finding is most college students, like 85%, were just really totally unaware. I mean, they've heard of Obamacare, but they knew little, if anything, about it. They were just simply ignorant. Well, if you're totally ignorant about Obamacare, guess what? You're not going to sign up. You're certainly not going to go to this site after all the horror stories. If I were young today, I would not touch this site with a 10-foot pole. It's a security nightmare. And then when I look at, what are they doing here? I'm subsidizing sick and older people that are making more money. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm better off under the existing system where I could select policies or health insurance plans that meet my needs. I don't need maternity. You see, what's going on, males are subsidizing females. So if you're a young male, I don't want maternity. I don't want pediatric care for babies. Or children care. I've never had any psychological problems. I don't want mental health services. I don't want contraceptives or abortions. There's a whole slew of services that you must pay for if you buy one of these Obamacares that many people neither need nor want. You see, there's a reason why it's expensive. So they're saying this is a product that's expensive because it has services I don't want, and I'm really providing subsidies by enrolling in it. I know I'm probably not going to have few, if any, claims. I probably will never meet the deductible. I'll have to pay up to the deductible, but before I collect any money, I probably never will collect a dime. So they're scratching their heads, assuming they've gone to that extent and they learn about it. What do you think they're going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're not going to buy this. They simply are not going to buy it. They don't care about the subsidies because they know once they go to work, they're going to have to pay the full price all by themselves. This is a disaster, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? It's impacting the president's poll numbers. Surprise! CBS, again, came out with a poll today. Now, the key number in this, and this does not surprise me. Today, according to that poll that came out today, published today, 61% of the American people want Obamacare to be repealed. They're not in favor of Obamacare. 61, this is the highest it's ever been. It's been in the 50s since day one. It's fluctuated. Now, I said in an earlier show, I think by this time next year, if not sooner, that at least two out of three Americans want nothing to do with Obamacare. They don't like it. They don't want it. They don't like it. Do away with it. And they're saying that because either they've bought individual coverage, which they're currently satisfied with, or they work for a company and their employer plan they're also satisfied with. In either situation, you're losing your plan. And as a result, we've had testimony, small business owners, that are starting to get the letters that the individuals got, that effective January, their plan will be canceled. And the comparable plan that complies with Obamacare or complies with the Affordable Care Act is like 50% more expensive because it has things in it that their current plan doesn't. Yet the employer and the employees are satisfied with the existing plan. See, we have a ruling elite, a bunch of lawyers, bureaucrats in Washington, in essence saying, we know best. We think this is in your interest to have, and they have a long list, a very, very long list of what has to be included. And the insurance company is saying, okay, if you want to do that, okay, But it's going to run up the cost, and believe me, it's going to run up the cost, as is the fact that you have to accept everybody. That's going to run the cost up. Those two things alone are the major reason you're seeing these huge increases. Anyone that's been in the business will tell you the key buying condition for individual or group is, can the client afford it? I used to sell what I would consider a very, very, virtually all the products I saw. I can't say 100%, but almost all of them were with outstanding companies, had comprehensive health care. They were excellent plans, very good plans, what today would be called a Cadillac plan. They weren't cheap, but people were buying it because they could afford it. Not everyone could afford it. And sometimes I would say, listen, there are other plans out there, but they have less benefits. And, you know, the client would say, well, here's what I can afford. Here's how much I can pay. Can you get me a plan that can come close to that? I said, yeah, but you need to understand what you're buying. Now it's even worse. They've piled on benefit of service after service after service. And as a result, there's no way that these premiums are going to be less. They're going to be more. The people that tell you, well, I'm going to be saving money, the only way they're saving any money here is that they qualify for one of these subsidies or credits, because they're somewhere between, they're above the poverty line, somewhere between 133% to 400% of the poverty line. And there's a sliding scale, and you might be eligible for credits. I heard a horror example where a lady wrote a nice email message to the president, and he actually talked about it in one of his meetings with the press. But the lady subsequently found out, and her plan was going to cost her less money, but the only reason it cost less money is she initially thought she was eligible for a lot more credits. Well, she was notified twice that that number had changed, and now she's really not eligible for any credits. And she literally can't afford the Obamacare plan that she signed up for. You see, and that's what the administration is counting on. We're really going to subsidize a lot of people. When you add up the people that are in poverty, below the poverty line, those are going to be millions of people. But Medicaid has been around for decades, and what happened is what happens in the past and today, when you get sick, people will then apply for Medicaid if they haven't already, and then try to find a doctor that will treat them. And the reason why you have to try is many doctors simply will not accept any Medicaid patients, and especially specialists. So yeah, you got a government program that may pay for your health care, but before you can make that happen, you're going to have to go out and try to find a doctor or hospital that will take you. Eventually you'll find one, but you're not going to get the best health care. You know, beggars can't be choosers. And the answer or the solution is find a good paying job and you'll have good health care. So 61%, and I have the article here. And for those that are new to the program, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronk, P-R-O-N-K, pops, P-O-P-S, .wordpress.com. That will take you to the companion website for this program. And at the very top, you'll have about 30 links at the very top to the most current shows. Just click on it, and you can listen to the program, or you can download it and listen to it at your pleasure. You can listen to the podcast at your pleasure. Or below those links, you'll have a complete archive of all my shows. But below that, I have the segment title and then information, and it can include YouTube, video clips, articles, photographs, charts, tables, and links to articles as well as the articles themselves for more information. Those are what I call pointers. And I always say, do your own homework. Don't believe what I'm saying. Check it out. I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. We're human beings. and occasionally I'll misspeak. I don't deliberately try to mislead you, but I want you to have the benefit of the information I've looked at when I've prepared for the show, so you get more insight into what I'm talking about. And I have a number of videos today. Actually, not that many. You see, I've concluded already, as other people, that Obamacare, as the New York Post said several days ago, is a unmitigated disaster. The website should be pulled down. It should be shut down, and it shouldn't go live again until all the issues with it are ironed out, especially the security issues. That is the only responsible thing that, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're in the House, the Senate, the President, or anywhere, that is really the only responsible right thing to do. You don't subject the American people to the possibility that their identity can be stolen and in turn their credit destroyed to buy a very expensive product that you don't need, don't want, and most likely can't afford. And that's what we're talking about. And remember, this whole program was designed to cover the so-called problem with uninsured people, the 30 million. 10 million already qualified for Medicaid, and now all they're doing is signing up early. You have another 10 million that don't have the money, that can't afford. You know, it was supposed to solve the problem. Well, if the insurance is much more expensive than what they currently have, you're just creating more uninsured. This is really a welfare program. This is wealth distribution. It's a welfare program. And also a tax increase. And what's happened is the popularity or approval ratings of the president have dropped. Only 37%, and this is a new low, approve of the president's performance. 57% disapprove. And it's largely linked to this disaster called Obamacare that he's very proud of. That's his signature legislation that he got passed through. Democrats that are running for re-election are running away from Obama and Obamacare. They don't want to be associated with him, and they don't want to be associated with Obamacare. The only exceptions to that, there are a few congressmen, congresswomen, and senators that are largely from what I would call deep, deep blue states, where they can get reelected by telling that they're for Obamacare, and they really, this is just, wait for me, because we're really for single payer. That's what we want. We want socialized medicine. We want government to take over health care completely. And this was really a stepping stone. Just keep the faith. The American people don't want that. That's why they didn't have the votes for it then. And guess what? They're not going to have the votes. They're not going to have the votes in the future. They have done so much damage to themselves and their dream, the utopian dream of single payer, where single payer is the government having a monopoly on health care, that they're done. And it's not going to be for a couple of years. This is a couple of decades. And I think you're going to have a major blowout come 2012. If the Democrats thought 2010 was bad, and that's where they dramatically lost the House, wait to 2014, because the president is losing big time the independents. And I'm an independent. I'm not happy with the Republican Party. Forget about the Democratic Party. There are problems with the Republican Party as well. But in a nutshell, the American people no longer trust President Obama. They feel now that they have been fundamentally lied to by Barack Obama, intentionally lied to. And I've said this in past programs. I've said this many years ago. Once you catch someone lying to you, and I'm not talking a white lie or a small, I mean a major lie, you never trust that person again. You never will. You've been betrayed by him. And that is what the majority of the American people are increasingly feeling and believing and knowing. They were lied to. Now, we've heard that it's abundantly clear you can't keep your plan, period. But there's another problem You can't even find out whether or not you can keep your doctor. And the answer is you probably can't keep your doctor. Why? Because what are the health insurance companies doing in terms of the networks that are available under these plans? They're narrowing your choice of doctors. They're narrowing your choice of hospitals. Let's say you are sick and you need to buy an Obamacare plan. Now, let's say you're being treated for cancer. You want to have the same doctors you have now. You want to be treated in the same hospital or hospitals that you're being treated now. So one of the things you need to do is check whether or not under the plan you're enrolling is your doctor one of the health providers? Is the hospital part of the network? What people are finding out, if they can even get the information, and that is a struggle, is many of the doctors, if not most of the doctors, are not in the network, and neither are the hospitals. So not only did President lie about you can keep your plan if you like it, and you can keep your doctor if you like him. No, you can't. It's a double lie, twice. And the third big lie was, if you're a family of four, you should see your premium go down annually about $2,500. No, no one's seeing their premium go down. Or I should say, the only ones that are seeing a lower cost to them are those that are being subsidized by other taxpayers, by subsidies or credits. In other words, their neighbors paying for their health insurance. That's the way to look at it. Do you think that's right? I don't think it's right. And then the plan they get covers things that people don't want. You see, the president is repeating a new lie, and he's going to keep saying this. The Obamacare plans are a good product. That's the mantra you're going to hear over and over. It's a good product. And the plans you have now are substandard. I've heard it repeatedly now. And the president thinks what he needs to do is relaunch and campaign. Go on the campaign trail to educate the people about Obamacare. The American people don't need education on it. They want the website taken down, and they want Obama repeal. That's what the American people want. No amount of propaganda, lie after lie after lie, is going to change that. And I go ahead, Mr. President, waste your time. Go to every community college in the United States and talk to students about Obamacare. Try to relaunch and sell this garbage plan, this very expensive health insurance that your bureaucrats in Washington designed. Do it, Mr. President. I encourage you to do it, because if you keep doing it, you know what's going to happen? Your approval rates will go under 30%. This is just the beginning. And you see, here's the problem that he has, and here's the problem the media has. Every day, people are getting cancellation letters. Not only individuals, but now employer-provided plans. And then they're finding out how expensive the replacement plans, the Obamacare plans, are, and why they're expensive. So his popularity has not reached a new low. It's going to go down, down, and down, and there's really very little, if anything. And the media will try to change the subject. We'll try to distract you. The big television networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, will try to distract you. Will try to make it better. Right now, they literally can't, because when they go talk to people, what do they find? People, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, are not happy with Obamacare. It's a disaster. It's more than a website. The website is a disaster. The website is a disgrace. It's frankly a clear and present danger to the American people in terms of their identity being stolen. And that's something he hasn't confessed. He confessed that they have problems with the website, but he thinks they're going to be fixed by the end of the month. No, they're not. No way. No way. You know, and something I've learned with the testimony of Chow, there's at least 30% of this system, a very important system, that really is not ready yet. And that's the government payments to the insurance companies. They better have that ready, because if the government doesn't pay the insurance companies, what do you think the insurance companies are going to do? Eventually, they're going to pull up their hands and pull out. They better get that right, and it's not ready. Now, supposedly, it doesn't impact the front end, the healthcare.gov site. At least that's what they say. And it's probably right, but I could see some interaction. You know, people do move. People do get divorced. People's situation change, and that needs to be first updated into the system, and then the insurance companies need to get that information. So I've concluded that the only responsible thing that the president can do, and I really think he's going to get a lot of pressure to do this, because more and more is coming out. You know, I listen to several talk shows, and we have people call in, especially the show I like, but I really can't stay up for all of it, is the Charlie Jones Show on 1080. And that's, by the way, a CBS affiliate. It's Texas Overnight is the name of the show. I'll give it a plug. But it's from 12 midnight to 4 in the morning. And most of the people usually might listen to the first 2 hours. There are people that are on the third shift that are working that'll call in, or people that are up in the night will call in. And what I remember is there's someone in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that has friends that are actually working on fixing the problems with the healthcare.gov site. And they work for several major corporations that are based in Dallas. And what he's hearing from his friend, this guy is a developer, he's not on it, but he knows several people, and they're telling the same things. They have big-time security problems, which is just confirming what the testimony that Chow gave, that he wasn't aware of it until he was confronted by the Congress staff and the congressmen that behind closed doors that this was a memo saying there's security problems with this site. You put these two pieces of information together. I don't think I'm jumping to conclusions. This site shouldn't be this is not only fraud. This is taking it one step beyond fraud. By every minute that site is up, there is a real potential that the people that enter their information, knowing that they need to enter it to enroll in the plan, that information can be compromised. In other words, criminals, that people have criminal intent to steal their identities, and once they have information such as your Social Security number, your name, address, Social Security number, where you live, but other information, they'll get enough information that they can use the theft of your identity to do things like open accounts, buy things, get loans in your name. And that is just part of the security problem, just part of it. But that alone should force the government to shut down this site. They're not doing it. They won't admit they got a problem. And that's the first most important thing. If you have a problem, you got to confront it. You got to confront reality. And I don't think the president nor the people surrounding him will ever admit to this. He might surprise me. I think there's going to be more and more pressure brought to bear and more information released to the public. Remember, this was leaked information. Chow was in a closed hearing, not open to the public, not open to television, where these memos from the person in charge of security saying, listen, it's not their problems. They're high-risk problems that really will not be addressed until May, another 6 months. And that's the earliest, and that's not all of them. To do all of them, we're talking February of 2015. And the gentleman then retires. And the project manager was out of the loop. If I were a project manager and this information didn't get to me, I would be yelling and screaming, bloody murder. Project manager needs to, he's the one, he's responsible for the project. He needs to know if there are problems, especially schedule problems and security problems. And this goes to both of them. There are major high-risk security problems, and the earliest they can be fixed is May of next year. If I were in his place and learned that, I would pick up the phone, call the secretary, tell her what I have, and tell her in no uncertain terms, you cannot launch on 1 October. There's a reason he was kept out of the loop. They probably knew that's exactly what he would do. So they kept him in the dark. Now, I'm taking his word that he wasn't aware of this. I don't know. Maybe he was. He says this is the first time I've seen this document. This should be on every major network. This is like I said, I started this show. This is a public service announcement. Don't go on that website. Forget the politics for a minute. I was kidding with one of the students. I said, well, if you have somebody that you really dislike, give their information. Have their identity stolen. Now, I was kidding. I'm joking, folks. And I made it clear that that's what I was doing. You wouldn't want this to happen to your worst enemy. Yet the government is encouraging to go enroll. And you have to December 15th to enroll to get a plan. I guess the word is stop. Stop this. Tear down this website, Mr. President. Stop this. Because it's only going to get worse. Believe me, if half of what I have discovered is true, this is beyond a train wreck. Because what's going to happen? It might take 6 months. It might take a year. People's identity are going to be stolen. And then you're going to be getting horror story after horror story after horror story. I enrolled in an Obamacare plan, and 3 months later, I found out my identity was stolen. Some people, subscribe to a service that stops that. Other people won't even know. It might be a year from now. So do yourself a big favor. Don't go there. If you're young or healthy, and let me say this, and I need to say this, but other people are saying it. You would get the impression that the most important thing for any American to have is health insurance. You better have health insurance. Now, when I was in the business, I would say that. You don't have health insurance? You need health insurance. Well, I was selling it. I'm motivated to say, well, I could help you out. Now, most of my clients were small to medium-sized businesses. Occasionally, I would sell an individual plan. Not that often, but, I would run into self-employed people, and they didn't have employees. It was just themselves and their family, and individual coverage made sense. But most of what I would sell was small group or mid-sized group plans for employers, mainly business owners, but not all of them were business owners. And what they were concerned about, it had to be affordable, and it had to meet their needs and wants. What you need to understand is you don't necessarily need health insurance. Many people, including myself, but many, many people go many, many years without having health insurance at all. No health insurance. Are they taking a risk? You better believe they're taking a risk. I don't recommend it, but usually if you can get the person to talk, there's a reason why they don't have health insurance. And usually the reason is they can't afford it. And this is under the existing system that's now going away and being replaced by a government design plan that's a lot more expensive, not only in terms of the premium, but also with much higher deductibles. It's many times worse. If they couldn't afford either individual or small group now, prior to Obamacare, they're not going to be able to afford it with Obamacare, even with the subsidies. But the point I'm trying to say, it's not the end of the world if you don't have health insurance. There are many millions of Americans every day don't have health insurance. That's not the ideal situation. And I would say to you, if health insurance is a top priority or a very high priority with you, then what you need to do is find a job with an employer that provides a good health insurance plan. And that is my solution to the uninsured problem. The answer is full employment. It's not another entitlement program. It's not another or expanded welfare program. The answer is peace and prosperity, a growing economy where we're at near full employment. In other words, the unemployment rate is 3% or lower. And guess what? There have been periods in the United States that has happened. Doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. The answer is near full employment, where you have health insurance through your employer. Or if they don't provide it, you're paid enough where you can buy it on your... That's the answer. That's my answer. And there's a lot of things that can be improved. But I will tell you now, the answer definitely is not another entitlement program called Obama. That's what this is. This is a big redistribution of wealth welfare program. And the justification given was, well, we need to make sure that the 30 million people uninsured get insurance. No, what's happening is most of the people that are in poverty, if they're still in poverty, are going to get Medicaid. They're not going to get a plan. And most of the people, if they couldn't afford insurance now, even with a subsidy, aren't going to buy it. And the young are quickly figuring out what's going on here. Because common sense will tell them, you know, listen, I either never been sick or, okay, I went to the doctor once, I had the flu or whatever, or I sprained my ankle or broke my arm and I went to the doctor. But that was the last time I've seen a doctor. And they know that not only them, but most of their friends really don't need much medical or health care being provided. Now, that does change when they get married and have children. And that's usually when a person seriously thinks about having health insurance. It's to make sure that their children are covered, or future children are covered, and pregnancies are covered. But like I said, my answer is in the private sector. It is encouraging the formation and the growth of the private sector. Because if you want a job, especially a full-time job, you go to the new business owner. Doesn't mean you're going to get the best pay, but you're going to get a job. And to the extent that that person is successful, what do they do? One of the first benefits they will provide their employees is a health insurance plan. That's the answer to this problem. You need economic policies that encourage that. Unfortunately, the economic policies of this president haven't worked. I was looking at an old post I did on my blog, and this was the president's own advisor's chart that laid out if the stimulus package was passed, today we should be at or under 5% unemployment. We're at 7.3%. So president's own opinion polls, there are opinion polls, but his popularity, his approval is way down, as is what's happening is his disapproval ratings are way up. And most of this can be tied directly to Obamacare. That's why they're plummeting. And I don't think they've reached bottom. I think we have a long way to go. And I think this is entirely possible that a year from now, actually in 11 months from now, that Obama's ratings will be below 30%. It's going to get worse, folks, because the individual is just the first wave. Then we have the small employers, you know, under 50, which is the bulk of the plans out. They're going to get their renewal notices. And then the large plans and the self-insured. And we already have unions screaming that they want exemptions. They want a carve-out. They don't want to pay because why? The unions negotiate with their employers. This is usually with large companies. And they trade off salary for good health care plans. And now they're being hit with a Cadillac tax for having a much better plan than most people. So the president's poll numbers are going down. His approval numbers are going way down. And I think this is just the beginning. And no amount of attempts by the corporate television networks, so-called mainstream media, is going to be able to rescue the president from this slide into oblivion. Obamacare is an unmitigated total disaster. The website needs to be pulled down, and Obamacare needs to be repealed. That will probably take another 3 years, but it will happen because the American people are really mad. They're disgusted. They don't like their personal affairs being interfered with. Good intentions are not enough. Results matter. And this president gets an F, not a D, not a D minus, an F for failure. For failure. A bad idea poorly executed is still a bad idea. This is not a good product. It's a bad product because it fails the affordability test. It fails in terms of these high deductibles. It fails because it's not tailored to the needs of the individual. It's one size fits all, and the people are saying, I don't need this, I don't want this, I can't afford it. And they're going to punish the political party responsible for this, and that is the Democratic Party, and they will be punished come the next election. You mark my words. The only question I have is, will the punishment equal the first midterm election when Roosevelt was president, where the Democrats really took total control of the House of the Senate by major, major numbers? It's never been equaled or near in the, you know, since then. I think there's a distinct possibility that we might have a real blowout where it would be very hard to beat the Democratic Party's win in the 1934 midterm elections of Roosevelt, where they really terrifically expanded the House seats as well as the Senate seats. But it could happen. And I hope it does happen, because this was a bad idea that it never should have seen the light of day. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been both informative, educational, and a little bit entertaining. Now, back to the music.